in Revelation chapter 22, verse 19. Verse 19, by way of the doctrine of rewards, we left off on page 570 of your book. And we'll assume that you're still in fellowship. If not, you know how to remedy that. So let's just jump right into a couple of passages. We studied the 8R teaching tool. And then we've got Joshua chapter 1, verses 8 to 9. This book of the law, and that's the Bible, everything that they had at that time, we have the completed canon of Scripture. They just had, they had the Old Testament passages, and that would be the Torah, because Joshua, when he wrote this, they had the first five books of Moses. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. So that means to study Bible doctrine constantly. This is written by the Holy Spirit through Joshua, but it applies to us, obviously, and this is a command. This is our command. You shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful. And that Hebrew word is shamar, which means to keep watch, to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. That's the rewards as a result of reaching spiritual maturity. And then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That's the passage for us. He's not only with you, he's in you. Remember, we're church-age believers. We're indwelt by God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They weren't. Wherever you go, he's always there. And he promises, he says, I commanded you to be strong and courageous. Why are you afraid? You're afraid because you are not following the commands to put Bible doctrine into your soul and apply them when problems hit. We have Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And without faith, that's pistis here, which means Bible doctrine, with emphasis on the faith rest technique. Remember, there's four meanings for the word faith that's in your book, Christian Doctrines. Without faith, primary interest emphasis here is faith rest. And faith rest, of course, is when one of the problem-solving devices. When you have a test, use the faith rest technique. Got a problem? I'll use the faith rest technique. What is the faith rest technique? You claim a promise of God. There are hundreds of promises of God that God has made to you in the Bible. And you don't even need to claim a specific promise. Just claim the general promise. If you can't think of one of the verses, like Peter, where it says, when I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. Well, just remember the general principle. I'm his child. He's got me hooked up. He wants the highest and the best for me. Why am I worrying? Well, because you have a problem. Yeah, it's called a test. And the highest and the best for you, you got to have tests, or you're not going to grow. Just not going to happen. You cannot shelter your children growing up from problems and stuff. They got to solve their own problems to a degree. You're given oversight, but that's just the way life is. That's how you grow. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. Impossible. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. You will have rewards. But you've got to believe these things. If you don't believe it, it's not going to do you any good. It's like going to Bible class. You can hear Bible doctrine. You don't believe it, it's not going to be retained by you. You've got to believe it. So you must believe that he is a rewarder. He will keep his word. And what is his word? I will reward you for following my commandments. I'll make you prosperous in time and prosperity beyond your imagination in eternity. Do you believe it? Well, if you believe it, then you're going to take action. If you don't believe it, you will not take action. If you do believe it, you're going to take action. What action? I'm going to learn Bible doctrine. I'm commanded to do it, and that's how I get it. If you don't believe what this says, you're not going to take action. Whatever else you're going to do in this world, you're going to do the pleasures of the world, and you just don't believe it. You hear the words, oh, that sounds great, thank you. But you don't believe it. If you believe it, you take action. And if you don't take action, it's impossible to please God. That's how God is pleased, that you put him before everything else. Well, I haven't seen God. Well, great. Remember, Peter wrote that. He said, look, I saw Jesus. I ate with him. I touched him. Did it do him much good when he was on the earth? Not really. Peter didn't get up this line very far at all. And he sat in Bible class for 3 years. He said, what's more important? Because you can't say that. You can't say, I had dinner with Jesus. I supped with Jesus. I listened to Jesus. I sat there. I heard everything. I saw him. I bivouacked with him. Can't do that. You can't do that. I can't do that. But what Peter said, he said, look, what's more important is the Bible doctrine. He said, blessed are those that have believed And yet they've not seen him. They haven't seen the resurrected Jesus. Peter did. But that doesn't put Bible doctrine into your soul. Having dinner with Jesus, seeing the resurrected Jesus, does not put Bible doctrine in your soul. Remember that time when Peter went up to the Mount of Transfiguration? Remember, Jesus went up to the mountain there, and he was transfigured. Peter was there with John, and they saw him as he will look in his resurrection body. And along with him was Elijah, popped up on the mountaintop, and Moses. And so Peter, again, just blurted out, "Lord, I'm going to make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And God the Father's voice came down and said, "Forget about all that stuff. Listen to him. Do what he tells you to do. That's Jesus." But Peter wasn't listening. So yeah, he saw all these things. Did it put any Bible doctrine into his soul? No. But he just blurted stuff out. That's the way he was. Again, you didn't have to wonder what's on his mind. He'll just tell you. And he did. So yeah, it doesn't, all miracles, all the other, doesn't do anything. What does it is your dedication to the Word. If you believe it, you will dedicate your life. If you believe something, you're going to do it. If that's your pearl of great price, you're going to pursue it. I always use the analogy of a hobby. I know you spend a lot of time with your hobby because you enjoy it. I have a hobby. I spend time with my hobby, not because I hate it, because I like it. So do you spend time with your Creator? Only we can answer that. Only you can answer it. Only I can answer it for myself and you for you. But without doing that, it's impossible to please God. God puts you here in a situation where you don't have all the props that these boys did. But the Bible shows us that these props don't do anything. Go back to the Exodus generation. They saw more miracles than Jimmy Carter has liver pills. Of course, I think Jimmy's dead now. But yeah, did it do them any good? No. You hear people, "Well, only Jesus came today and did these signs and did that." You think that would change anything? No. He did it then 2,000 years ago. Did it change anything? No. Didn't cause a great revival at all. The vast majority of Jews rejected him. Oh, on Palm Sunday, didn't they all love and scream and holler and emotion and put down palm leaves and "This is the Lord, the Son of David," and all that stuff? Yeah. And then 3 days later, "Crucify him, crucify him." Just like football crowds. Oh yeah, they love that you're winning, everything's great and rosy and thing. Quarterback does what they don't like. Throw the bomb out, kill him, get rid of him. Well, just last Sunday you said he's the very greatest thing since sliced bread. Now you want to get rid of him. Get rid of the coach. People are fickle. Just emotion. Emotion means nothing unless it's attached to your mentality in a proper way. And then we got 1 Timothy 1:12. This is Paul, "thank Christ Jesus our Lord." Christ is the Messiah, the mission. Jesus, his humanity. Our Lord, his deity, who has strengthened. And that's in dunamon, which means to receive strength. "Me, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he considered me faithful," that's pistos, which means consistent, "putting me into service." Now, there's no magical download where Jesus strengthens you with Bible doctrine. But why did Jesus strengthen him? Why did Jesus give him the title and the responsibility of being the chief apostle? Pistos. Pistos. He was faithful. Faithful to what? Bible doctrine. Remember, when he was saved, he didn't pop out starting doing the missionary journeys. He cooled his heel for over a decade learning Bible doctrine. And he was faithful to learning that. He learned it from other pastor teacher. He learned it from angels. And he had visits with Jesus Christ in a Christophany. And he learned. He was faithful to it. And that's why he was counted. And that's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. He pleased God because that was his priority. Then we got verse point 6 on page 571, rewards and escrow. God the Father desires that all believers reach spiritual maturity so he can provide them with fantastic rewards. To endow those who love me with wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. And that's Proverbs chapter 8:21. That's what he wants to do. But see, it's to those who love me. There's the kicker. Most believers down here at point X or point Y, they don't love Jesus. You can't love what you don't know. You can say the words. You don't know. You don't know anything about God. How can you love God? How can you love what you do not know? You cannot. you're a liar. You say the words, you can sing the song, mean nothing. You can sing Amazing Grace till you're blue in the face, and you might even have a good voice to do it. It means nothing. You don't know what grace is. I have no idea. Just a song. It's very all true. All the words in there are fantastically true. But they can't apply it to reality. Okay, so that's God's desire. So the winner believer, he wants to give you fantastic wealth. As proof of his grace provisions, before the foundation of the world, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 6, Ephesians 3, 20, God deposited specific tailored rewards for each individual believer for his life on earth and in eternity in a divine escrow account set up in the heavenly places, a rewards book of life, a book of remembrance. So this is the rewards book of life. There is a book of life when you're saved, your name's in there, but there's another book called the rewards book of life. And your name's in that rewards book of life in this escrow account with fantastic rewards that God deposited into the bank account. But see, money in the bank, you got to get it out of the bank. I got money in the bank. You got money in the bank? How are you going to get it out? Well, you got to do something. But here, this is not just a bank. It's an escrow account. It's like a will. Aunt Susie left you all this stuff in the will, but she also put a little thing at the bottom. The executor, which is the one that disperses the stuff in the will give you that stuff if you do this. And you say, oh my golly, what does Aunt Susie want me to do? Well, Aunt Susie said, you must join the Navy and serve for 3 years. And you've got 5 years to do it. If you don't do it, it goes to my cat, Sylvester. And that's the way it is. So if you want that do-re-mi, you better get down there and sign up at the recruiter's office. Whatever she tells you to do, it's her money. She can do what she wants with it. But you can get it if you follow the conditions. Same with God. There's a condition here. And that is, you got to love me. Well, how do you love God? You got to know him. So it tells you where it's set up in the heavenly places. It's called a rewards book of life, a book of remembrance, Malachi 3:16. And then by God the Father, for the believer who overcomes the cosmic system and reaches maturity. For the mature believer, God will not erase his name from the rewards book of life. That's Revelation 3:5. That's not the book of life for the unbeliever. Remember, Revelation chapter 3, 1, 2, and 3 are all about the churches of believers already there. And that passage says, you don't do what I tell you to do, I'm going to erase your name from the rewards book of life. It's not your salvation book of life. Your name cannot be blotted out of that book. Because once you believe in Christ, your name will never be blotted out. But your name can be blotted out, erased. A little pencil there. I'm going to erase all the rewards because they were in the book, but you ain't getting them. You're saved, but you're not getting these rewards. Indeed, God provides equal opportunity for each believer to fully receive these rewards as a believer step-by-step successfully fulfills the set conditions of relief from the escrow account. He advances to spiritual maturity with the goal of becoming a subject matter expert witness exhibit in the angelic conflict. Tragically, most believers fail to do so, and their fantastic rewards remain on deposit for all eternity as a memorial to the grace of God. Their rewards are erased. Your rewards are erased. You don't get them. But you can go to the Hall of Records in heaven and look at them. And you say, wow, I could have had all that. Well, why didn't I get it? You know the reason why. You didn't want it. And how dumb are you? Oh, my golly. I mean, that's the dumbest person on the planet. But you did it to yourself. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Christ is the escrow officer. That's where they're located. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy, hagios, separated ones, and blameless before him in love, he predestined, and that's poroizo, which means a predetermined plan, us, to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. Genesis 15:1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be great. This is when Abraham was a knucklehead. Abram, rather. Remember, his name was changed to Abraham later in. But see, God said, I already know that you're going to get on positive volition as an old man. And you're going to get to the high levels of spiritual maturity. And I'm telling you, your rewards will be great. And God already knows where you're going to end up, wherever it is. Now, I can give you some good news. You've been in this church for a while. You're going to get something. We just had the Santa Claus thing. You're going to get something. You may not get the 36 gifts, but you might get four. You've had some release already. In time, in your mortal body, you've already been blessed and you know it. And if you've been blessed and you know it, then that's also an indication that you will have eternal rewards. If you don't know you've been blessed, then yeah, probably not. You don't realize it. But you've got to realize it because it's true. But see, God has already set these things out. He already knows the beginning from the end. You don't know. And the fact that you don't know means there's still time on the game clock. You're still in this mortal body, this tent. You're still in the veil of tears, which means testing, suffering. And so there's still time. It hasn't happened yet. So don't let it happen until you move. Keep moving. This is encouraging because God promises these things are there, and he already knows. He already knows where you're going to end up. You don't know. 1 Corinthians 2:9, but just as it is written, these things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, that's from your human perspective, in your brain, and which have not entered the heart of man. Nobody can imagine the fantastic rewards of eternity. We can imagine the rewards in time, right? Friendship, money, approbation, all these things. Yeah, you can. That's, we got all that. But the stuff for eternity, you can't even imagine it. That's how great they are. All that God has prepared, that means he's made ready beforehand. Heto imatzo. He did this in eternity past before the foundation of the world. He set them up in the heavenly places. It's already done. These are the fantastic rewards. For those who love, oh, there we go. There's the fly in the ointment. Not everybody gets it. It's not swag, stuff which all get. Now, swag would be you get the 40 things. You're eternally saved as a loser believer. But no, this is for that special category. For those who love, and that's agapao, which means to love dearly, not the impersonal, but the personal love, him. Well, how do you love God? Can't love what you don't know. And then 7, there's 3 parties in an escrow account. There are 3 distinct parties involved in the escrow account blessing in heaven before the foundation of the world, placed in heaven. That's when he placed it in heaven before the foundation of the world. The grantor is God the Father. He filled up your bank account with rewards in 2 categories, in time, right now, and in eternity. The grantee, that's you. This is for you. It's got your name on it. Everybody has their own little escrow account. You got yours, I got mine. And then C, the escrow officer. When it says in Christ, he is the escrow officer. He's the one that releases it. Where? At the judgment seat of Christ. That's where the release is made. Now, he releases it in time, but the big stuff, time is a drop in the bucket. You want to think about eternity. That goes on beyond. And you want to be, you know, a loser believer for all eternity? Or do you want to be a winner believer? Do you want to glorify God or not glorify God? There's only one way to glorify God, because God is only impressed with God. And when he looks into your soul and sees himself, he's impressed and you're rewarded and he's glorified. So you learn the mind of Christ. That's how you fulfill the conditions of the escrow. And Jesus Christ shares the booty. I like that word. That is a biblical word. That's from Isaiah chapter 53, verse 12. He shares the booty, that's a pirate word, rewards with winner believers only, with the strong, as it says in Isaiah. Not the weak, the loser believers, with the strong. Matthew 20, 22 to 23. But Jesus answered, you, this is James and John. Remember, they went to Jesus and said, we'd like to be hooked up. Can you hook us up with the highest position in heaven? And Jesus must have really had a smile on his face when you guys come in there and say that. These people were in the playpen of Christianity, and they're already looking at the rewards. Well, and I'm sure mom probably put them up to it. Go talk to Jesus. See if you can get a hookup now, because the other disciples, they want to be hooked up too. But you go in there first and have him promise. But Jesus answered, you, this is James and John, the brothers, do not know what you're asking. Isn't that sad? They don't know Bible doctrine. They don't know anything. They don't know anything about anything. They're saved, but that's about it. Then he says, are you able? And that means dunamai, dunamai. Do you have the power to drink the cup? That's the drinking vessel that I am about to drink. That is dying for the sins of the world. We do that ceremony every the first Sunday of every month. Remember, Jesus said, my cup is filled with the sins of the world because the cup has content. I'm going to drink that cup. I'm going to die for every sin that every human ever did, the sins of the world. So Jesus had some fun with these boys, obviously. So he said, you want the rewards? Let me ask you a question. He said, you don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink? They said to him, we are able. Oh, my golly. Well, on several levels, they're not able. One, they're not qualified. They're sinners. A sinner cannot drink from this cup. It has to be a human that's perfect. I don't know what they're talking about. I have no idea what they're talking about. And yet they said, we are able. Oh, my golly. He said to them, my cup, this is my cup, porterion, the cup of union with Christ, you shall drink. This is another cup. This is not the cup of the sins of the world. This is the cup of union with Christ. Shall is future. The church age. They're going to go into the church age. They're not in union with Christ right now. Remember, they're in the Old Testament dispensation. Nobody was indwelt with God the Holy Spirit or God the Father or God the Son. But Jesus said, no, you're not drinking from that cup, boys. But you shall drink. He said, "Then my cup you shall drink. But to sit on my right and on my left, this is the places of the highest honor, rewards. This is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." In other words, God already knows who's sitting there. And God has already prepared it. And that's going to be God the Father. But isn't it Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ? Yes, because God has delegated all judgment to the Son. Look up the doctrine of judgment. But God the Father is the one that has set this plan out in eternity past under the plan of God. And then we got point eight. Incremental release of rewards in time. There are two types of temporal rewards held on deposit by God, held on deposit in God's escrow account. Temporary means the stuff you get in this body. The temporary rewards are spiritual blessings, which provide the actual capacity to enjoy the physical blessings, and two, the temporal blessings of physical blessings. Temporary rewards are physical blessings, which such as wealth, job success, wonderful spouse, true friends, health, etc. Fill in whatever you want. Obviously labeled as the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the spiritual rewards in time are by far the greater in value and are released in increments, step by step, as the believer grows in his spiritual life. This doesn't all bam down on you. This takes time to get up here. So the rewards in time are released incrementally. But there's two categories, and we're going to have a new diagram on the next page, on page 574, which sets out the diagram. I'll draw it up for you real quick. This is what the escrow account looks like. It's going to have this. This is for time. This is for eternity. Blump, 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 blump. For time, you have two categories, the spiritual and the physical. The spiritual blessings give you the capacity to enjoy the physical blessings. The wife, the husband, the friends, the money, the food, whatever it is, hobbies. But if you don't have the capacity to enjoy it, they'll make you miserable. And you know what example you can pull up right now in your own brain. The book of Ecclesiastes. The boy had it all. And yet he said, I want to kill myself. What? You got everything. But it made him miserable because he had no capacity. So before you can enjoy what you have, you got to have the capacity. And that's the spiritual blessings. How do you get the spiritual blessings? Well, you study Bible doctrine. And then you have the capacity to enjoy these things. Okay, and then we have point nine, which is logistical support rewards. Since all believers possess the righteousness of God given at salvation, some level of logistical grace support rewards are also given to loser believers who never learn Bible doctrine and therefore never grow. However, because of his lack of temporal spiritual blessings, the carnal believer has limited capacity to enjoy any of the temporal blessings he may receive. They can't enjoy it. So even if God gives a loser believer physical blessings, they can't enjoy it. They're miserable. And they always want the BBD. Whatever they get, it doesn't satisfy them. They think about it, I want this, want that. They get it, they're not happy. If I could just get to, you know, $10,000 in the bank account, you get to $10,000, doesn't make you happy. It's not there. Or if I just get this go-kart, I got the go-kart, I'm not happy. I want the bigger go-kart. Because they don't have no capacity. They can't enjoy what they got. So they're always looking for the BBD, the bigger and better deal, and they never get it. Never. They're never satisfied. Never satisfied. Because they have no capacity. But they do get logistical grace, support, rewards, even as a loser believer. Why? Because you have the righteousness of God. You're in his family. And even the loser member of the family, they're going to get something. It just doesn't do them any good. You might know members of your family that have a lot of stuff and they just squander it all. Doesn't no good. Okay, then we have confidence and rewards. Point 10. The winner believer fulfills the command of God to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and is confident that he will receive some level of rewards. The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness. 2 Samuel 2:22-21. So David realized that I'm getting rewarded according to my righteousness. What righteousness? That's learning Bible doctrine. I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. That's Paul. I press on toward the goal of the prize. That's what he's doing. What prize? Rewards. He's already saved. I press on. I keep going. I keep learning. I keep moving. Indubitably, having experienced the step-by-step release of fantastic spiritual and temporary rewards in time, he believes God's word that Jesus Christ gives additional eternal rewards to those who remain faithful to the word. By this, reaching maturity, love is perfected in us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. That's the judgment seat of Christ. For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness, a.k.a. maturity, is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life, that's the temporary rewards, and also for the life to come, eternal rewards. So Paul's making an analogy. Yeah, you can go to the gym and get muscles. Has some profit, but you can look at your arms. They're not going to grow. There's nothing going to happen. You can buy that stuff on TV and say, oh, just sit here in your chair and sprinkle it on your arms. It'll grow. No, it won't. You got to put some suffering in. You got to go to the gym, and then it'll grow. There is some little profit to that, but wow, he's using that analogy. That profits you a little bit, but the real profit, the thing that holds the promise of this present life and for the life to come, is learning Bible doctrine, godliness, which is Bible doctrine. And then we have, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness Christ will even now as always be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. God is glorified when he can give you rewards. He wants to give you rewards. That's how you glorify them, at your death. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. Well, why do people don't want to be around you? Because you don't use deodorant? No. Because you shine with Bible doctrine, and the darkness hates the light. If you think that as a believer and you start learning Bible doctrine, everybody's going to like you, no, exactly the opposite. The world will hate you. You will stand out alone. And people don't like that. They want to be the birds of the feather and flock together. That's why the mega churches are so large. They're just legalistic. And so the world, aren't you a good person? Uh-uh. What does God think about you? You stand for Bible doctrine, you will stand alone. But you're really not alone. God's with you. And if God's with you, who the hell cares about people? Oh, I don't have friends. Well, good job. You're probably better off. They won't hit you up for $20 every time you turn around. No, it's what does God think about you? So, yes, if you find that everybody likes you and, you know, the world just likes you and the Facebook stuff and they love you, no. There's something wrong somewhere in Denmark. You're expressing the cosmos. And the cosmos can be very sweet and very kind and very caring and very loving, very giving. But you're not filled with God. The Holy Spirit means nothing. Absolutely nothing. And so you're blessed when that. Your rewards are great. Because it shows you're doing something right. If the world likes you, you're doing something wrong. If the world hates you, you're doing something right. In fact, winner believers will hear this pronouncement at the judgment seat of Christ. Well done, good and faithful slave, servant, slave. You lost. That's what you want to hear. You've been faithful? Well done. Good job. Faithful to what? Bible doctrine, your number one priority. Matthew 25:23, his master said to him, well done. And that's divine good produced by the mature believer. Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful in a few things. That's the Christian way of life. It's not hard. Yeah, they hate you, but who cares? Do you really, really want to live your life what other people think about you? You're a sad little person if that's your criteria. What does God think about you? That's the litmus test. He says, you were faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. These are the fantastic eternal rewards that you cannot even imagine. We saw that verse before. Enter into the joy of your master. That's how you make God happy, quote unquote. That's how you share the happiness of God. You think God's happy when you're a loser believer and you don't move forward? Of course, this is an anthropopathism attributing to God a human characteristic. We understand a divine attitude. You want to make God happy? Learn Bible doctrine. The joy of your master. And he is your master. See, arrogant people, I'm my own master. Okay. No, you're not your own master. You're a slave. You're a slave to your creator. See, Satan didn't like that. I want to create myself. I don't want to be under someone's thumb. Arrogant people, they don't want to be under anybody's thumb. They're very unhappy and miserable people. They cannot orient themselves to life. And we have this a lot with a lot of different people. They don't want to be in a relationship of this or that and the other thing because whatever it is. Basically, they're arrogant. Arrogant people. So anyway, Hebrews 10:35-36. Therefore, do not throw away. And that's apobalo, means to cast away as worthless. Do not throw away your confidence. Confidence of what? God's promise that you're going to be rewarded, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance. That's suffering for blessing. Got to keep at it, folks. So that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. What did he promise you? The hookup of eternal rewards beyond your imagination. But a lot of people just throw it away as garbage. They don't believe what the Word of God says. And if you don't study Bible doctrine, you've just thrown your reward away into a garbage can. Good job. Why did you do that? Because you're an idiot. But it's not too late. You don't have to be an idiot every day. You could be a smart person. So do not throw away your confidence. Confidence in what? The promise of God. The confidence of Bible doctrine. Which has great reward. For you have need of endurance. In other words, this is written by the writer of Hebrews. They have need of endurance. Keep going. So that when you have done the will of God, what's the will of God? Last verse in 2 Peter, many passages, grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's it. That you may receive what was promised. God promises these things to be released to you. And then point 11, we have the ashamed loser believer. Loser believers refuse the Christian way of life and never advance in their spiritual life. They will temporarily be ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ. When they have to give an account for what they did with the time on earth that God gave them. They wasted their lives. Their wasted lives were under the Aramaic curse, Anamathme Maranatha, which means devoted to destruction until Christ returns. Devoted to destruction is just the fancy way of saying that if you're not going to die the sin unto death, that's what you are going to be devoted to. But you're certainly not getting rewards. Now, you can't lose your salvation, but you are under a curse. And there's a lot of bad words to describe loser believers. Look up reversionism. They're called the enemies of Christ. They're called haters of Bible doctrine. Called all sorts of stuff. But they're born-again believers. But they're basically servants of the devil. They're not servants of God. They're following the cosmic system. They hate Bible doctrine. So their wasted lives are under that curse. Some will have died the sin unto death. Nevertheless, the shame for the loser believer is short-lived and will not extend into eternity, where all will rejoice in God's grace. In contrast, the winner believer will have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. You will not have shame at the judgment seat of Christ at all. His coming refers to the rapture. You're not going to be ashamed. You'll probably realize that you're a jackass because you're going to have some divine, some of your human good is going to be burned up because nobody's, you know, all of us produce human good every time we are here. But you will not be ashamed because you did your duty. As Paul said, I've done my duty. I've run the course. He didn't mean he was perfect. He almost died the sin unto death himself in 58 A.D. And he was a mature believer when he fell off the railroad track. But he got back. You have need of endurance. He got back and kept going. Didn't let his failures get him down. So this is written for the big picture. We will have confidence and not shrink back from him in shame at his coming. What does that mean? You know you're going to get something. You don't have to say, oh, shucks, I don't deserve anything. Of course you don't deserve anything. None of us deserve anything. But God cannot lie. You will get something. Because if you know Bible doctrine, you've exhibited that you love God to some degree. And if you've been in this church, you've got to know something. You've got to, well, knowing it and believing it. You've got to believe at least eternal security or you wouldn't keep coming back. And many of you know a great deal, but it's none of my business. I'm not evaluating you. God is. But you know you're going to get something. So you don't have to say, well, that's very arrogant of you saying you're going to get something. I know I'm getting something. And it's not arrogance. Because I believe in God. Now, I don't know what I'm going to get, but I'll get something above and beyond. I have that confidence. And I'm not arrogant in that regard whatsoever. Because if I said I wasn't, I'd be arrogant. Arrogant people are not just those people that go around and make loud noises again. Arrogant people can be very conniving and looking down at the ground all the time, and I'm humble out, and they're arrogant. Very arrogant people. So, no, I have confidence. You're damn right I'm getting something, just like if you ask me if I'm shaved. You're damn right I'm saved, and if I'm chewing Red Man tobacco, I still call it Red Man. The woke people try to destroy it, but I still call it Red Man tobacco. I will spit it right in your eye because it doesn't depend on me. And my rewards are coming. It doesn't depend on me. I know I'm getting something. I have been faithful to the word. Now, have I fallen off the railroad track? Yes, I have. And I'm speaking for you, too. I'm speaking for all of us. Of course we do. But we rebound and keep moving. Like King David. He said, Psalm chapter 23. And you talk about a stinker and falling off the railroad track with his sin nature. But he said, oh, goodness and mercy is going to follow me and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. I'm going to have wonderful rewards. He wasn't arrogant at all. He just said, God's promise. God cannot lie. And so therefore, claim the promise of God. Come boldly to the throne of God. For without faith, it's impossible to please him. So when you say, I'm getting something, you have pleased your creator. Absolutely pleased him. And you are getting something. On the confidence of the word of God, each of you are getting fantastic rewards. Because you've already got them right now in time and you enjoy what you have right now. I know you enjoy it. And therefore, that's evidence that you're going to get these fantastic eternal rewards. Why did you get it? Because you did it to yourself. You said, self, get your ass to Bible class. Self, you're going to do this. Even when self didn't want to do it, you did it anyway. More often than not. And that's the endurance part. And then we have the bottom line. Military people, we like this. Bottom line up front. The bottom line up front. Watch yourselves. You are the guardian of where you're going to end up. Watch yourselves that you do not lose what we have accomplished. What do you mean what we have accomplished? Who's the we here? Well, John is writing this. And who's the we? Pastor teachers. They beat their brains out to give you the food to grow. And if you don't have a pastor teacher, you ain't growing. And so, yes, the job of the pastor teacher is to be faithful to the word. And rain or shine, hell or high water, they put it out on a consistent basis. And that's what he means we here. So watch yourselves, congregation, that you do not lose what we have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward. Now, believe it or not, I'm a member of the congregation too. I'm the pastor teacher, but I'm a member of the congregation. Because I've got to execute the word of God in my own life. I'm no special person with little angel wings on. I'm an idiot just like you. I have an old sin nature just like you. And that's what Paul said. He said, look, I'm putting out accurate Bible doctrine. There's none better. But there's people that might have more rewards than me. Because I'm not using it as I should in my own life. And that's a very true statement. So we all have our spiritual gifts, and each spiritual gift is equal to the other. All of them. There's no special thing. So you're going to have that reward. 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent. That's the same thing with watch yourself. To present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handed the word of truth. We do that every time we have Bible class, almost. That's part of our scriptural. We use the King James Version. This is the not the King James Version, so you might say, well, that's a little different. Yeah, I use the King James Version, old school. But 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourself to prove to God a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But that's the King James Version, accurately handling the word of truth. But you can't accurately handle it unless you know it. You can't pass a test unless you have retained the Bible doctrine. Hebrews 10:39, but we, these are positive believers, winner believers, are not those who shrink back to destruction. You can't lose your salvation, but you're going to shrink back. You will not get your rewards. But of those who have faith, pistis, for the persevering, and that means possession of your own property, of the soul. Yeah, that's where Bible doctrine is retained, in your soul. And that's where it will be. And so we'll pick up on Tuesday the parable of rewards and continue with the doctrine of rewards. With our head bowed and our eyes closed, Father, we thank you for this marvelous doctrine that you've called to our attention today in the Word of God and the opportunity to study these things so that we can know what's ahead and we can know how to glorify you in time as well as in eternity. Challenge us to make this a top priority. Challenge us to be diligent. Challenge us to have confidence. Challenge us not to shrink back, but to continue to move forward and move forward and move forward to slag. Study, learn, apply, grow. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.